guys of Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
I'm not here to defend myself, but I do want to put a little context on this.
Okay.
To start the conversation, I said it is one of my favorite places to play. And, then it went into, okay, well, I've heard, you know, they said, you know, I've heard that, you know, it's not the nicest stadium in the world. The locker room's not that nice. And they wanted me to elaborate on that. And I, you know, went into saying what I said and end up getting killed for it. So, I will say that I love playing at Lambeau. You know, the tradition, the history.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Convenient.
Oh, dude, don't walk it back. Yeah. Adam, don't walk it back. Don't be a coward.
What he said, though, here's what I loved. So, how Packer fans, like there was, I saw debates on Twitter. Does Lambeau Field need to be replaced? Like, because he just said it's not that great a place, which he's wrong, but he's right. I mean, the
it's
locker
pretty,
rooms.
It's fine. It's a good stadium.
The locker rooms for the visiting team is a piece of garbage. Like, it's too small. It's windy. It's not good. But I just love how the Packers got so defensive, their fans, right? We don't need to replace it. He never said you need to replace it. Like who takes a visiting player's word for it and, like, has a debate about, now, should we replace our stadium because a wide receiver on the Minnesota Vikings thinks it's a piece of crap? Come on.
I love it, man. Well, I mean, also, he's playing in the, as Patrick Royce would call it, the Taj Mahziggy, right? I mean, the Viking Stadium, it's right there with the Dallas Stadium as just the most ridiculous palace in the United States of America. And so everything's going to look inferior to U.S. Bank Stadium. When you go to Lambeau Field, I just don't want him to feel pressure now. Don't.
Oh, it's hilarious.
No one's going to cancel you. Packers fans have already canceled you. So
play
what
the heel.
Do you care about them?
Play the heel, right? Play
totally.
It to the hill.
The
it
game,
makes perfect
Adam.
Sense. And by the way, though,
carrying his little sledgehammer around.
By the way, if you came to me with tickets for a Packer or a Vikings home game, 100 out of 100 times I'm taking the Packer tickets. Lambeau's great. I would go to Lambeau above the Taj Mahziggy every time. It's a shrine to football. I love it. I love Lambeau Field. I love it. I will go to Lambeau Field 100 out of 100 times above this place here, which is nice,
okay.
But
it's a shrine to football. It has been around for a lot longer. There's obviously more history, but just in terms of, like, watching football in a luxurious, amazing, temperature-controlled environment.
Don't need the temperature
Ronnie.
Control.
There's
Football, dude.
U.S. Bank Stadium for me, not 100 out of 100, but like 80 out of 100 times. I'll go 20. I'll go to Lambeau 20 times, mostly so I can just go get bombed at all those neighborhood bars that are a block and a half from
changed
the field.
A little bit there, though. It's far more corporate now.
Right, but there's still a couple little... There's a couple hole-in-the-wall places that you know, get a greasy sandwich at, and I'll respect that. I'll respect that you pay like $35 to park in someone's grass lawn and you walk over to the football stadium. That's all great, but U.S. Bank Stadium is a more comfortable, luxurious, modern place to watch
football.
A football game.
I want.
Oh yeah. You don't
want
comfort.
I want meat and potatoes football. I'll take.
You
want to
be on your
field.
Couch. You want 70 degrees inside.
Look, the truth is, that's the one sport where if I didn't have to go, I wouldn't go. It's way better on your couch.
It's a terrible sport.
There's no sport that's better on your couch.
Sport in
but
person.
If I have to go to a game, I'm going to Lambeau Field well before I go to U.S. Bank Stadium.
But only in September. Only when it's 75 degrees.
You know what?
Once
in a while,
nice.
You got to freeze your ass off to know what that experience is like.
And I've never done it. I would like to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I'd
great.
Like to go.
And
like
you do
go.
Have to get blitzed, but that's fine.
That's fine. That part's easy. I can do that.
Yeah,
no
you've
problem.
Got that down to a science.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, just a little warm, something warm and brown in the thermos there. It'll be good.
Feeling, don't back off. You're right. Play the heel to the hill.
Don't feel the pressure. I love that those guys called him on it. McAfee, that was McAfee and A.J. Hawk, former noted Packer. They called him on it too. He's like, you know, I love. No, dude, no. All right, glad we're starting with Vikings here. We will get to a latest update from Brian Windhorst. Our guy Doogie's been reporting on... Not the falling through of the A-Rod Mark Laurie purchase of the Wolves, but a couple little red flags.
Yeah.
A couple little red flags.
A week ago Tuesday on the Bonus Scoop, Doogie told us, I've been told to make phone calls that it's not going to get done in the allotted time. And that is what has happened. Doesn't mean it won't get done, but yes, that's what's happened.
So we'll get to that, and we'll also get to Mackie and Judd play the odds as part of Talkin' Twins. But we have, boy, we've got something for you here.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually rare that Judd Zulgad sends an email at like 6:30 in the morning, all jacked up. He's been up all night mocking the Vikings schedule. Judd has a mocked Vikings schedule that comes out tomorrow night. We'll see how well he has predicted, and we will pick the schedule. So, and we'll do that. And just real quick before we do that, I've seen Alex Rodriguez. I follow him on Instagram, and he's always on the golf course, it seems like.
Yep.
So I think maybe A-Rod might need to get off the golf course and hammer out this deal with Glenn Taylor. But who can blame the guy, especially if he's playing PXG clubs? I mean, listen, $1.5 billion purchase of a dumpster fire franchise that's sort of showing life, or I could just be on the course with my PXG clubs, the new Gen 4 clubs, drivers, fairways, hybrids, and irons. You know, maybe next time he swings in, he can stop by PXG Minneapolis in Southdale Center, where he can find swag, spring, summer apparel, and the best clubs that PXG has ever made. Find out more, A-Rod, at pxg.com/Minneapolis. All right, Judd, you tell us how you want to do this here. This is your baby. This is your – you've mocked the schedule before.
18 weeks, 17 games sitting right in front of me right now.
Yeah, this is
prime
the first time we picked a
dates.
17 games.
And I've got dates, too. Like, this goes the distance. This schedule goes the distance. Up early, grinding schedule. You know, most of you people grind film. Well, I'm done with film. Mm-hmm. The draft's over. I'm grinding mock schedules now.
We'll see. This is much like Todd McShay celebrated.
Right.
I think it was McShay celebrated 7 out of the first 7. Can Judd make a run at the beginning of the schedule here? So, all right, we'll fire up the music for you, and you take us through a tour of how you see the schedule playing out, and then we'll pick the games along the way.
All right. And if you've got thoughts, certainly just stop me, and we can dissect from there.
So we're going to, just to be clear, you're going to throw a game, a date, and like TV information, and then we pick it. And then we go from there.
Yeah, right? But I mean, if you have thoughts about it, like if you like it, if you don't like it, if you think that the schedule gets particularly difficult, just
pontificating,
throw up a flare, throw up a flare, and I'll stop, and we can break that part down.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is what you're going to get tomorrow night from us, 7 p.m. Central, when we go live
on the Purple Daily YouTube channel.
Exactly right. Exactly
the world-renowned, famous Purple Daily YouTube channel.
Week one, September 13th. Boys, that's not the Thursday game, of course. That's not a Sunday. That's the 12th. It's a Monday night game.
Ooh, the Monday football.
It's a Monday night game at U.S. Bank Stadium. And by the way, starting this year, we are down to, in week one, because of the bonus game, we are down to one Monday night game. So it's not going to be two games. It's going to be one.
Oh.
The Dallas Cowboys at U.S. Bank Stadium on Monday night,
dude,
September 13th.
A blast.
Dak Prescott against Justin Jefferson, retooled Vikings defense.
USOB, I'm in.
Yeah. There's a lot of star power in this game, and it's on ESPN.
So Kirk gets a primetime swing right out of the gate. In fact, he took a primetime swing on Sunday night against Dallas. Was it 2 years ago?
And he won. Dalvin had a huge game.
And he hit the ball out of the park, so... I've got the Vikings off to a good start there. It's probably going to be a little bit of defense optional early while some of these new players get the hang of Mike Zimmer's scheme. I think the defense is going to settle in maybe in month two of the season. But oftentimes offenses are out of sync, especially without offseason workouts. So that game could be a dumpster fire. Who knows? Yep. So, but either way, I'm going to say a Vikings victory.
I'm going with the win, too. I think if it was in Dallas, different story. But I'm going with the win.
It's Kirk on a Monday night. Kirk in prime time, but you know what?
He's Mr. Monday night now.
It's at home, hopefully full stadium.
Yep.
All filled with purple. Dak Prescott just back. Yeah, exactly. It's a Vikings win.
Yeah,
1-0.
People are
like
still caught up with Kirk being over on Monday nights. Now that he's broken the seal, he is the Monday night messiah. Move over, Seth Rollins. Kirk Cousins is coming for your mantle.
It feels like a W.
Burn it down, baby. Let's go.
Eat that win. Eat that W. Still the weirdest thing ever. All right. So after that exciting start, the Vikings go on the road for back-to-back games. September 19th, which is the following Sunday, in a Fox low-key game, they play at the Bengals. which is a break because Joe Burrow might not be back yet, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's a win.
So Joe
that's
Burrow might not be back yet. So, yes. So, week two at the Bengals. Declan?
Trap game. 2-0. They lose. Trap
what?
Game. They lose.
I love where you're coming
Trap
from.
Game,
I
lose.
Love. I'm so proud of you right
Trap
now.
Game,
Sports
they lose.
Son, I'm so proud of you.
They coming off, they're coming off the high of a big Monday Night Football win at home. That's a trap game. I don't know who the hell the backup is in Cincinnati, but I'm just gonna go if they lose. That has the recipe for a loss.
That's a win.
A week two trap game.
They're 2-0. 2-0.
Okay.
I think they win. All right. But now it sets up for the back to back on the road, September 26th, the following Sunday at Lambeau Field. Oof. Adam Thielen's favorite stadium. They play in Green Bay, it seems like. A lot of times, not last year. Early, so I'm going week three at Green Bay Sunday game.
Yep, this will be a tougher game than the Vikings anticipate facing Jordan Love and just his third professional start. You think on paper with Jordan Love starting this game that it's going to be a walkthrough, but he'll hold his own and the Vikings will win a close game that they feel like should have been a blowout against Jordan Love.
Declan Goff.
Yeah, if they're playing Jordan Love, they win. If it's a Rodgers game, they're gonna get their butts kicked.
They're playing Jordan Love.
But they're playing Jordan Love, so it's a win. They're playing Jordan Love. It's a win.
They're 2-0. They lose this game. They lose this game to whomever they play from the Packers. 3-0 is really tough, but I think they do beat the Bengals in week two, so I'm going to give them an L in week three.
Wow. Okay.
Week four, they return home. First game of October, October the 3rd. I told you I got dates. That's a Sunday. The Seattle Seahawks finally come to Minnesota to play at U.S. Bank Stadium. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, not far from where I sit here. Phil.
Yeah, this is always, the Seahawks are always good early, too. And they were explosive offensively the first half of the year, and then they got all gun shy after like one bad game, and then Pete Carroll was like, "Oh, we got to hand the ball off." And then Russell Wilson got mad and almost demanded a trade, etc. I think the Seahawks are going to learn from everything that happened this offseason, and they're going to go back to letting Russ cook. Mm-hmm. DK Metcalf is emerging into one of the best wide receivers. This is going to be a great game that the Vikings lose in the end in a Russell Wilson, probably another Russell Wilson drive. But it won't be like a red flag game where you get waxed. It'll just be a really good, hard-fought game, and it results in a loss.
Sure. Yeah. I would say a loss, too. I think this is a tough one.
Wow, Dex.
Yeah, I'm
2-2
right now.
You've got them off the rails.
I'm 2-2. They're not off the rails.
Oh, you're 2-2.
Two.
Okay, I thought you had them 1-3. Yeah.
So are they firing Zimmer now, or do they wait till Tuesday?
Jeez.
Yeah. No, we're 2-2.
Kirk's benched.
They're 2-2 in 2017. They're 2-2.
Kellen Mond starting week five. Okay. The Vikings have lost of late a lot against the Seahawks in Seattle, where Phil sits right now. But they don't get waxed, to Phil's point. It's close. So guess what? You get them here. Full stadium. Skull chant going. This time the Vikings don't lose. They improved to 3-1.
Wow. Okay. Here for it.
All right. Week.
Here for it.
Week five, it gets difficult. I'm not going to lie here, because you have to go to an AFC opponent and visit the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens and Vikings, oof. Lamar Jackson, well-coached team, always a tough opponent in Baltimore.
This is where it gets tough here, and I think this is where more pressure from your defensive line without having to send blitzers is going to be your friend. But I just don't know that the Vikings are going to generate enough to fluster Lamar Jackson at this point. So I'm going to say it's a loss. I think Lamar Jackson's going to dance around and have his way a little bit. This is a tough game.
Yeah, I feel like too, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I feel like Zimmer has a tough time with like mobile quarterbacks. And I think Lamar Jackson's going to have a tough time. I think Zimmer's going to have his hands full with Lamar Jackson. I think he also bounces back this year. He's got Bateman. So I think they lose in Baltimore.
One of Zimmer's signature games as a defensive coach was the Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton came to maybe U.S. Bank Stadium even, or TCF Bank Stadium, or might have been early in the U.S. Bank Stadium, but they sacked him like 8 times and he threw interceptions.
Yep.
So, I mean, can you replicate, and that was before Cam's injuries, can you replicate that game plan? I guess we'll see.
The Vikings lose this game, but the league does them a big favor because the next week they return home. It's week six. It's October 17th. It's a noon kickoff that's going to 8%. Of the country. Because it's the Detroit Lions.
Dan Campbell doesn't just like football. Dan Campbell loves football.
Kneecaps. You know the clip.
Yeah, he goes.
That's a win.
Yep.
That's just a win. Yep.
Yep.
Jared Goff, I'm sorry.
Straight up.
Yeah, that's a win.
All right. So you go from the easy, small TV audience game to week 7 where it gets real, at least for the Vikings. They travel to Soldier Field to play the Bears on October 24th in prime time. It's Sunday Night Football. It's the slide in his back with Collinsworth and Michaels. NBC.
Love it. Is this the second nationally televised game here to this point?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've got more to come because Justin Jefferson provides the excitement. Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, you know, this is not, so this is at Soldier Field. It's never an easy game for the Vikings, but I think the Bears are going to be winding down the Andy Dalton era here and maybe even into the Justin Fields era. And either way, if it's winding down of Andy Dalton or if it's Justin Fields on like his third start, Mike Zimmer has his way defensively in this game. And I think Kirk Cousins steps up enough and the Vikings win this game. This might be a Justin Jefferson breakout game here. I mean, he's already had like 5 of them, but like another Justin Jefferson breakout game here. Vikings win.
I think they win too. They lost Soldier Field last year. I don't think Mike Zimmer's going to have his hands full with a rookie court. I think he's going to be able to fluster a rookie QB. I think the Bears are better than they were a little bit last year, but I think they get a win in Soldier Field. They get the win.
Kirk won in week 1 against Dallas at home in prime time. He's not going to win here. They lose. It's a close game. They lose. All right. So October 31st to finish out the month.
Ooh.
They come home. It's scary stuff when you get the Cleveland Browns at Baker Mayfield. Kevin Stefanski returns. The Cleveland Browns, a serious team now, is the next opponent at US Bank Stadium Sunday, October 31st.
Boy, that's a tough one. I am not a Baker believer. I just think that dude's kind of along for the ride. I don't think he's a great leader. I think that roster is so good. And Stefanski's going to want to get that win, just coming back, facing all of his old friends. This kind of feels like, especially after a big win against the Bears, this kind of feels like a game that they should win at home, but that they don't. I'm going to go a loss.
I think they win. If it's on the road, it's a loss. But I think at home, they're going to be okay. So I think it'll be close. It'll be a very entertaining game. There's a lot of storylines. There's Fancy coming back. I agree with you on your take on Baker, but I think it's a win. It's a win.
So I've got the Vikings, after my supposed loss in Chicago, on my fake schedule here, at 4-3. So this is where the season is in. It's basically a fork in the road, and it can go either way. And the Minnesota Vikings in 2020, they would have collapsed, but not the 21 Vikings. They beat the Browns at home to improve to 5-3.
All right.
Week 9, November 7th, at the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, this is, to me, so the way I have this going, the Vikings lose to the Browns, and then they lost a couple games before the Chicago and Detroit games, like so that they're kind of rickety here, and this is a get-right. This is a classic, like, Kirk Cousins throws for 350 and 3 touchdowns. This is fourth quarter Pharaoh coming to life here. Kirk Cousins again against a bad team.
Yeah.
Vikings win.
I don't see any reason they lose this game.
Because Matt Rhule will, I guarantee you, screw up the clock. This guy is among the worst with the clock I have seen. Matt Rhule opens the door for Phil's guy, Cousins, to lead a drive, and they actually do win. So I've got him now at 6-3. And then week 10, Eureka. It's a bye week, boys. They get to rest. They're feeling good about themselves.
That's a great centralized bye.
Yep.
You know, a little
I gave
bit
a good bye.
Toward the back end of the schedule. I like it. Okay.
And now, because I am the National Football League's brain, and I am thinking through how do you do this schedule right? Do you know what I do? Primetime game 3 is next. But week 11, it's on a Thursday night coming off a bye. So you get the nice little bye there, but it's not as long as the next Sunday. So you have them play on a Thursday night, but it's not off a Sunday game at 49ers.
All right, I think the 49ers are ripe for a bounce back this season.
Yep.
Some of it's going to depend on what happens with their quarterback situation, but that's a really good roster getting healthy. I'm going to say that's a loss for the Vikings.
That's a loss. I don't see any. They're coming off the high. They're thinking they're great coming from the bye week. It's a loss for San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Next game, week 12. I continue with my fourth and final primetime game. And again, it makes sense. Thursday to Monday night, the Packers. Mm-hmm. The Packers come here to play on a Monday night, which would be...
Wait, so you get like an 11-day gap here?
Yep, which would be November the 29th. So basically, it's two byes. I'm good here. The Green Bay Packers, Monday night game, U.S. Bank Stadium.
Yeah, it's a win, especially against Jordan Love. And the NFL might want to be flexing some of these games that they thought Aaron Rodgers was going to be playing in primetime.
Might be right.
When the Packers are like three games below 500 here, and the Vikings walk all over them in a get-right game. Yeah.
That's an easy win.
Agreed.
That's a win.
I don't think it's easy.
It's
the Packers.
Win.
I'm not
Nothing's
sure it's easy
in the National
I'm not sure
football
it's easy. I think easy is going too far, but I do agree. That's a win. All right, we're into December now. And keep in mind, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 6 games left because we have a new 17-game, 18-week schedule. Week 13, travel to play Kyler Murray, a wide receiver core that's become good, and an Arizona Cardinals team that I like on December the 5th.
Where is this being played again? Is it
at
home
Arizona?
Or?
Nope, it's Arizona? In the desert.
At Arizona.
Oh man,
it's
this is a tough one. I think this is going to be a very much improved team. This is a tough one. I'm going to say they lose this game. Time zones in play here. So yeah, it's their fifth loss.
Dex,
yeah, it's a loss. I think they're Kyler Murray's going to run all over them. That's on the road. That's
you get no faith in Zim, Dex.
I don't.
No faith in Zim.
Not
the
right
defense
now,
is retooled.
They're retooled, but they're not elite. They're going to get exposed.
Thanks, PJ
I think.
Fleck.
You're welcome.
All right. Week 14, the Vikings come home December 12th to face on a Sunday afternoon, probably a noon kickoff, but it could be a 3 because it's a marquee opponent television-wise. The Pittsburgh Steelers at U.S. Bank Stadium.
Ooh. Yeah, the Steelers feel a little bit train wrecky to me. But even like a Steelers train wreck is like 6-10 because they're just a stable franchise with a good coach.
Right.
But the later in the year that you get Big Ben or his backup, the better. So this is a win for the Vikings.
Declan?
That's a win. The Steelers are coming down to earth. I was still on that Steelers bandwagon last year, even when people were calling them flawed. I still thought they were a pretty good team, and then they got absolutely waxed by the Cleveland Browns in the wild card weekend. And I think it's time Pittsburgh is going to transition year. I don't think they're a dumpster fire. Like Phil said, they're usually still pretty dang good, even when they have bad years. But that's a win at home. I'll give them a win.
Agreed. It's tough because this team is good. I mean, Pittsburgh gives you problems, but yeah. I'll give them a win as well. All right, week 15 at the Lions, December 19th. Phil Mack.
Win.
Yeah, that's
it's a win.
Yep.
Win.
Yep.
Jared Goff. My God, no.
Yep. All right. Week 16th, only 3 games left. Back-to-back home games at U.S. Bank Stadium.
This is the tough part of the schedule here, by the way. I mean, this is where it's you got the extra game. You know, it's now you're playing into January at some point.
The season's long. At this point in time, it's really long. It is the Los Angeles Rams the day after Christmas, Sunday, December 26th, at U.S. Bank Stadium. That's a tough one.
Yep, I think the Rams, they're definitely hyped. I think if they're healthy, they are for real. And so I'm going to say that the Vikings lose this game.
I agree, loss.
Yeah, I think Stafford is the best, is a significant upgrade for the Rams, and I think the Rams are coming back this year in the NFC. So I think it's a loss at home as well.
Week 17... January the 2nd, that is a Sunday game against the Chicago Bears at U.S. Bank Stadium.
The Bears.
Yeah, I don't know. The Bears, I'm not feeling them. I guess I have the Vikings sweeping the... No, I have them sweeping the division so far, so this has to be a loss. They're not going to sweep the division. So some logic prevails here for me. They're going to lose that game too.
Dex?
I have that as a win. Yeah, I think it's a win. It could be a close, real... fun game because I'm guessing playoff implications are probably on the line for the Vikings at this point. I have met 9-6 going into that game. So if they win, they're 10-6, and they're probably sitting pretty in the playoff field. So I'll say a win, though. I'll say a win.
Win, yep. And then week 18, this is actually the one game that we know already because it's been scheduled out. The Los Angeles Chargers in L.A. on January the 9th, which is the final Sunday of the season.
All right, with the season, so I've got them 9-7 right now going into this game. So season on the line, division might be on the line here. And this is where we're going to need the Dagger Doctor. We're going to need Kirky McClutcherton to show up in a big way.
Is Mond going to play this game?
Final week of the year. the secondary slayer, gets it done to send the Vikings into the first round of the playoffs.
Or Phil melts down. Declan?
Yeah, I actually say this is a loss because I think at this point they're 10-6. They're probably not playing for a bye. Like, yeah, they could still be in play for maybe a home playoff game in the wild card round. But I think they kind of take this game off, and I think it's a loss.
Good so quarterback as well
yeah,
for the Chargers.
Seven.
Yeah.
10-7.
Loss. 10 wins.
Wow,
seven defeats, which, by the way, is just really
weird
to
say. We all have them 10-7.
I've got them 10-7.
We all had them 10-7.
10-7 wow. In very different ways, but yes, we have them at 10 wins and seven defeats. And that, gentlemen, is your full 2021 made up by Judd Viking schedule with dates, with primetime games included. 10 wins.
Amazing. We'll do the actual schedule when it comes out.
Oh, no, let's not. No.
Tomorrow night.
Let's not
just,
now.
Let's just use Judd's for the whole
mine.
Season.
Mine's really good. It's got good splits for the home and the road, right?
Amazing.
Things aren't too long. Good bye week?
That schedule, by the way, is presented by our friends at Federated. Federated Mutual Insurance is giving business owners peace of mind, risk management tools. They've been around for over 100 years in Owatonna, Minnesota. So find out more about how MyShield, which is the newest resource Federated launched, how they can help your business, the online client destination for risk management resources. I've had a chance to get to know the people at Federated for a number of years. Smart, caring people, sports fans, masochistic sports fans like us. So check them out, federatedinsurance.com. Remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. All right, I am looking for, I think, schedule release. It's such a genius concept.
Oh, I know.
All right, everyone, primetime special. We're not just going to, like, put the schedule out at noon, like, primetime release, get everyone in front of NFL Network and ESPN and the Purple Daily YouTube channel, by the way, and let's do it. So we'll have tons of thoughts the rest of the week once that thing comes out on Wednesday.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake has modified its golf policies to follow the COVID-19 public health recommendations and welcomes you to play this award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic golf experience. The Meadows at Mystic Lake is a full-service golfing destination, enhanced by nearby food and entertainment, including the Meadows Bar and Grill and Mystic Lake Casino Hotel. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux Community.
It's incredible, too, because we know the opponents. Like, we know who they're going. All we're getting is dates and times, and I love it.
And is it a primetime game?
Yeah.
You know, do you have three straight home games for any stretches, et cetera, right?
Yeah, but it's so smart because we still flock to it. We're like, okay, oh, man, that's week eight, not week two, yeah. So it's tougher or something like that. So, yeah. No, it's one of the smartest marketing things for a league that does a ton of smart marketing things.
Yeah. So, all right, boys, this story came across, and credit to our buddy Darren Doogie Wilson from the Scoop Podcast, regular guest on this show. He's been reporting on the potential sale of the Timberwolves, and he raised a flag last week on this very show. And he said, hey, the 30-day window has passed. Let's try to see if there's any hangups here. And so he's been doing his reporting. Brian Windhorst, ESPN.com, sources, Alex Rodriguez Group hasn't closed a Minnesota Timberwolves deal. Tech entrepreneur Mark Laurie and former baseball star Alex Rodriguez's 30-day exclusive negotiating window to purchase the Wolves from Glenn Taylor has ended without a deal. Both sides are continuing to negotiate in good faith in an attempt to reach an agreement, and it's possible an extension to the window could be worked out, but one isn't currently in place. And then it goes through how Taylor announced on April 10th he intended to sell the team to Laurie and A-Rod for $1.5 billion. Et cetera, et cetera. They met with Wolves personnel and toured the facilities. Taylor has entered into exclusive negotiating windows with prospective owners over the past decade multiple times, including last year with Daniel Strauss, but those talks have all ultimately broke down. Now, Johnny Krasinski from The Athletic says, a reminder, the 30-day negotiating window was not a deadline to get a deal done. If both parties are negotiating in good faith, which they are, a deal can be consummated. I have a couple thoughts on this. Number one, Alex Rodriguez never does anything in good faith, so I would be a little concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Laurie is a shark, so I don't know if I'd be concerned, but it's certainly noteworthy that dude is like a really smart tech entrepreneur shark. And number three, Glenn Taylor is one of the worst owners in American professional sports recent history. He deserves zero benefit of the doubt, and everything he touches over the last 25 years eventually turns into a dumpster fire. So pardon me if I read this article from Windy and hear the reporting from Doogie and I don't side with the everything's going to be okay crowd. Glenn, sell the team. I get it's a $1.5 billion purchase. It takes time. There's details to work out. But I just want to say I don't think he deserves the benefit of the doubt based on history that everything's going to be fine. Raising a red flag is only natural at this point.
Let's go down some really fun paths.
Reckless speculation.
Okay, because we've talked about this, and we broached this at the time, and to me it makes perfect sense. All right. So supposedly, if we are to believe, and I think there's no reason why we shouldn't, the details of this supposed transaction or the talks, right? They took place in Florida at the Taylor's home. Glenn's wife, Becky, made some lasagna and some pie and brought them to A-Rod and Laura. I mean, it was 1954. It was like old school.
Can we confirm, did she actually make lasagna for them?
I think they love lasagna. I think the Taylors always love it. Don't you remember the lasagna dinner for the players? Tim skipped it. He got fired for that.
Can't skip that, man. You can't skip that.
No, you're gone. So anyway, but at the time we talked about one. This sounds like really quick to just get. And I mean, Glenn got on the phone, right, with everybody after that. He's like, yeah, the deal. It's all set. And I'm going to still be involved. Basically run the team for 2 years. Forgive me if my reckless speculation radar goes up just a little bit to say a couple of things, all right? One is A-Rod and Lori probably said, wink, wink, oh, of course, Glenn, 2 years? Oh, yeah, yeah, you can help out for 2 years. You can run the team still. Yeah, wink, wink. The second thing is Glenn told him, you can't move the team. You can't. You just can't. You're not going anywhere. Do you really think that those two looked at Glenn and were like, oh, dude, oh, yeah, yeah, no, that's true? They both went, yeah, oh, okay, Glenn, cool. Then my guess is, Phil, they went to the league and said, we're moving the team probably within like 3 years or 2 years. And the league might have said, oh, hold on a second, you can't. Like we're going to make that work. And then they called Glenn and like, hey, Glenn, what's up? We love it, but we got some problems here. So my point is, when you tell me that you enter into the twilight zone of negotiating a deal and go back to the 50s where you sit at a kitchen table these billionaires are sitting at a kitchen table. Well, this is a delicious pie. Let me sign this document, okay? That's not how business works in 2021. So forgive me if I'm suspicious that an episode of Mr. Ed or Father Knows Best didn't serve as the conduit. So I could see how those two guys told Glenn everything that Glenn wanted to hear at that time and then checked with lawyers and the league, and now there might be some real life adult problems.
Here's another dose of reality too, because I've been racking my brain trying to figure out, why is there not more of an overwhelming push to get Glenn to sell this team among fans and media? I mean, he is, and this is not hyperbole, once you take away the creepers, like that dude who used to own the Clippers, that Donald Sterling guy who was like,
yep,
racist, like there's a certain small, yeah, evil group of owners. When you just get into the incompetence, he is on the Mount Rushmore of incompetent professional sports owners over the last 25 years. The laundry list we've read a million times on this show. Everything's a disaster for the most part. He is alienated, and it's not, you know, KG can be surly and can be cantankerous, but like you can't let that relationship go the way that it has, right? There's a full list. But then I thought, of course there's not a push to get him out of here, because he has let things get so bad over the course of the last 15 years, not enough people care anymore to push to get him out. If you want this team to stay in Minnesota and just sort of bumble along like it has been for the majority of the last 15 years, and yeah, there's some good things in place right now, but there's been good things in place before, and because Glenn Taylor has basically zero vision and curiosity for how to maintain something good, it almost always falls by the wayside. He offends somebody or he makes a bad hire or something happens, right? And if you're fine with just bumbling along, then okay, cool. Then like root for this thing to fall through. If you want there to be a sliver of hope at all that the Wolves become a powerhouse in the NBA, sort of like they were for a minute in the height of the KG era, right? He has to sell this team. It's not going to happen with him as the owner. Even if you think, well, what do you mean? Things are pretty good right now, right? They've won some games, and Anthony Edwards looks pretty good. Like, he always finds a way to screw it up or to ruin the culture through just sheer incompetence. And so even if you don't fully believe in Alex Rodriguez or Mark Lowry, and specifically Alex Rodriguez, those two guys, I think, give you a better hope and chance, even if there's a chance they might move it at some point. You have to take that risk to get out from underneath the Glenn Taylor ownership if you really want to be a shark in the NBA waters. And so from that standpoint, I just want him to sell it. Just sell it.
Yeah.
Like, just get it done.
But the problem is, in this town especially, we sometimes value comfort above results. And yes. So we're like, well, he's not going to move. Like, I mean, what do we always come back to with Glenn? And it's correct, but it's become flawed, which is he saved the team and it's still here. Right. And as long as he owns this team or runs it, it's still here. But like I told Dex 2 months back now, that no longer will do. Like, this thing has train wrecked so badly so many times, I'm willing to risk it. Like, I would rather take the risk that people come in, buy this team, make changes, and move it than, oh, we still got the Wolves, and nobody goes, and nobody, for the most part, cares. And, yeah, and I'm just, but the failure of this deal to close so far is such a poster child for the whole Taylor era now, because as I said, Phil, he jumped on the phone to talk about this. Yeah, we're real excited about this. And guess what? It was premature, way premature. You can't, like, think about the details that we know about the conversation. Mm-hmm. When's the last time, honest to God, when's the last time that you heard of a $1 billion deal closing because somebody shows up at somebody's Florida house for a couple of days or a day and is like, yeah, we'd love to buy this team. And Glenn's like, just don't move them. And also, I'd like to be involved for 2 more years. And last thing, too, didn't it set off immediate red flags for all of us when there was language that Glenn was going to own the team still for 2 years? Like, who buys a team and is like, yeah, but for 2 years, we don't have to worry about the team. What?
No, you want to buy it and go. You want to implement your, like, and those guys don't need 2 years sitting behind Glenn Taylor to learn the ropes. Like, I know that it's professional sports is different than Walmart and Amazon and the startups that Mark Lowry built to become a billionaire. But, like, Alex Rodriguez, I think, has a pretty good idea of how a professional sports organization should be run. And if they're going to get consultation from anyone in the world, how should we maximize the potential of this professional sports organization? Do you think they're going to spend it 2 years learning from Glenn Taylor? No. So the whole thing just reeks of Glenn being Glenn, but he's got all the power because ultimately if he doesn't want to sell the team, nobody can make him. So the pressure has to come from fans and media, and media on behalf of fans, if that's what fans believe. But it's just like, how many fans even have the energy to push? So I know you guys are going to dive more into this with Doogie because he's doing his own original reporting on this on the Bonus Scoop episode today. So check that out. Wait for that to drop on the Mackie and Judd podcast feed and also on the Score North YouTube channel. But from good news to, well, bad news to bad news.
They didn't play for 2 days. Are you kidding?
That's the good news.
Days off. That's the good great news. You can't lose when you're not playing.
Talking Twins on Mackie and Judd is presented by Dennis Kirk. So if you like to ride, hey, it's going to be in the 60s all week, touching 70 in the Twin Cities. So riding season is here. And if you just like to get outside and enjoy the weather, whether it's a Harley, a sport bike, whatever, you'll find what you need at DennisKirk.com. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock, clothing and helmets as well. Order by 8 p.m. and they ship the same day. Plus, shipping is free for orders over $89. They truly are the best in the business. DennisKirk.com, DennisKirk.com. We're going to sort of conjoin two segments here.
Okay.
Mackie and Judd play the odds on the Minnesota Twins, all right? So this has been a disaster. They had a chance to do some damage against Detroit. They split the two games and got rained out. So really, like, they went in and had a chance against the only team with a worse record than them, and they really didn't move the needle at all. And so now the schedule gets tough. It's a lot of good teams that are projected to be in the playoff hunt, and you're without Byron Buxton. So all of that, what would you say the playoff odds are, the percentage, according to Fangraphs.com, for the Twins are? Should they be, and what are they?
I would bet right now the playoff odds to get them, like percentage-wise, I bet it's 15%.
What do you think, Judd?
15, and I bet it's lower.
I bet it's lower than that. I bet I bet it's 8%.
It's actually still 22%.
Oh, wow.
According to Fangraphs.com.
It's interesting.
So, you know, the Twins are 12-20, but they had the Twins before the season as one of the best rosters in the American League. So they still have the Twins projected to win 82 games. So to claw their way back and finish above 500, 22% chance to make the playoffs, 14% chance to win the division, 2% chance to win the World Series still, which is very interesting. But I think what I worry about here is that they're not taking into account the effect of the Alex Kirilloff and Byron Buxton injuries. I mean, those were probably your two most exciting dynamic players. I mean, Kirilloff with four home runs in a week, and he was hitting he had like one of the highest barrel percentages of any player in baseball when he went down. So if those guys were on the field, I would still feel much more optimistic about clawing out of this hole. But the longer you're in the hole and the longer you're without Buxton and Kirilloff and Jake Cave is playing every day, I don't see how the math adds up.
And the bullpen?
Yeah.
And the bullpen is just a complete dumpster fire. Yeah. Yeah. I think that, that just seems really high for a team that now is as obviously flawed as the 2021 Twins are.
I think, too, obviously, the Central is kind of a dumpster fire right now. Like, it's not a juggernaut, I should say. So maybe that's playing into a factor of it. But, yeah, I mean, those are pretty optimistic odds. Pretty optimistic.
I mean, good Here's for them.
Action Network, all right? ActionNetwork.com. So they've got odds on winning the World Series here, too. And so they've got consensus odds taking a ton of different sports books. So FanDuel, MGM, William Hill, Unibet, you name it. They just pull all these sports books together and have a consensus odds for each team. So the Dodgers are 3-1. The Yankees are 7-1. Padres are 8.5-1. They got the Minnesota Twins still at 26.5-1. Some sportsbooks have them 40-1, others have them 20-1. So you're saying, like, if you play the rest of this season out, the Twins would win the World Series, according to this, about 1 in every 26 times. Does that seem high or low to you? It seems high to me.
Right now, yes.
Extremely high.
Yes.
Extremely high.
Yeah, I don't think this team has this team is currently constructed right now. With Buxton back, it increases a bit, but with that bullpen, no. No, I don't think
so. But does it give you pause that these math and analytics based, and in the case of some of these sports books, like you've got math analytics and the human sort of touch to all these odds, right?
Yep.
And these services are saying, yeah, it's definitely not as good of odds as it was when the season started, when all these places thought the Twins were like one of the five best teams in baseball. But hey, everyone's overreacting a little bit. It's not as bad as people think. There's still a 20-25% chance they can make the playoffs. And that gives me a little pause, like, okay, all right, so smart, objective entities are saying, listen, just let this play out through May and June and see what happens. But then my brain goes to, I don't know, I haven't seen Miguel Sano as a competent hitter in 2 years. Byron Buxton's their best player.
Right.
He's out for weeks, according to the Twins.
Right.
Alex Kirilloff out, like, Jake Cave is a below replacement level player. The bullpen doesn't have the same guys. Tyler Duffy's not the same guy.
I don't think in this case your eyes are lying to you. I think that's the most important thing. I think in this case, when you look at this team right now, incredibly flawed, guys who we expected certainly to be doing more aren't, and I have some serious questions about, like we know Sano is going to get hot for 2 weeks, okay? But do we know that Kepler is going to bounce back much here? Like he's hit for power a little bit more of late, but is that going to be sustained, and is he going to get hot or just hit, you know, 15 bombs? Polanco has bounced back as well, but is that going to be, again, sustained? I think this is one case where you're starting to see enough games where it's very hard to take the math equation of things and be like, oh, but they're going to come back to this. I don't know about that.
I want to see Trevor Larnach. You know, I think there's to me, there's two or three things that you can still cling to if you're looking to find reasons why this team could turn it around, right? The first thing is that Colomé is not going to be this bad. The bullpen just naturally is going to get a little bit better, and maybe Alcala has put in some better situations, right? But the other two things are you need the core group of guys in their prime, Max Kepler, Jorge Polanco, Miguel Sano, to carry this thing,
yes,
like they did a couple years ago. Like, they need to carry this thing.
Yes.
But the third bin, and you saw this with Kirilloff, it's guys that weren't really like part of the core going into the season that take the torch and run with it.
Yes.
And Kirilloff did, and then boom, he hurts his hand or his wrist, right? Probably needs surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Larnach has also been he's a first-round pick. He hasn't been quite as highly touted, but he's regularly been a top 100 Baseball America prospect, corner outfield, maybe some first base, and he's up now. So if he can sort of do what Kirilloff did, there's a jolt in the lineup that maybe didn't exist before. So not to put too much pressure on Larnach, but like, well, they're going to need someone like him to be awesome.
And this is why I think starting tonight, and especially once Kirilloff gets back, I don't need to see Jake Cave. I need to see two things: prospects who they have called up who should be prepared to pop. Like, let's quit with this dial down the pressure. Okay, your team's not good, so it's perfect time to play those kids. And then the Keplers and Polancos, because this to me is it. Like, we need to see, can they go now? Because if they continue to scuffle and struggle, I'm going to go into 2022 saying, I can't really count on you, so if I can trade you, I probably will. So what I want to see starting now is, I do not want to see, oh, let's play Astadilla again to try and milk a couple of good at-bats and get a win. Or let's play Jay Cave. You know what? His stats are good. I don't want to see a consistent diet of Kyle Garlick. Like, I want to see Larnach. I want to see Kirilloff, Buxton. Put Kepler in center until then, because I'd rather see the younger players and the players that I need to know about. Because here's the problem. I know Jake Cave. He's a utility guy, and I think he can probably be one on a good team. But he's not a guy that I need to force into or onto the field every single bleeping day.
He should play. He should play twice a week and pinch run late in games.
Right.
That's what he should be.
But I mean, this to me now is the time to make decisions on a group of guys, and then to give the kids a chance. And the last thing is, again, quit trying to dial down pressure. Alcala can't come in because he can come in. Alcala can pitch, okay? Let him pitch. He's like 26. So let's stop.
It is weird the guys that they will dial
gloves.
They'll dial down pressure for Alcala, but then they'll put, what's his name? I can't remember the guy that we ranted about, Brandon Waddell or whatever the guy's name was.
Yeah,
like, but that guy can be put into pressure. Like, why?
Yeah, exactly right.
Alcala struggles against lefties. Waddell struggles against everybody.
Yeah. And he just got claimed, I think, by Baltimore, okay? So he wasn't good.
Well, it means that the team thought he was good enough to claim.
He's an arm for their AAA roster, I think, is which is where he belongs.
All right. Well, that was therapeutic. A lot of good therapy. And a Viking schedule that Judd, I think, has probably nailed from week 1 to 18.
I think it's very solid.
Unfold on Wednesday night on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. Write that down, predictions tomorrow on Mackie and Judd, and an accountability session. Thanks for hanging out with us. See you guys.
Enjoy a weed-free summer at the lake, courtesy of Aquaside. One easy application of Aquaside pellets can eliminate weeds and lake muck.
Yeah.
Aquaside has been trusted by hundreds of thousands of lake homeowners since 1960. Neglecting aquatic weeds can hamper recreational activities like swimming and boating. Lake weeds can also provide breeding habitats for insects. Make your lake shore beautiful this summer with Aquaside. Call 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com.